96.
It feels weird because like I've completely lost track of the numbers because we've had such a fucked schedule.
Yeah, summers get busy for people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens. You quit teaching, all of a sudden I gotta have a job in the summer. Ruin it, have a family, gotta go on vacation.
Well, we always knew you used to have to be up at like fucking 4 a.m. every Monday. So, of course, we can... Sundays, you're free. Like, we can hammer out something, but now...
Yeah.
Now you just do whatever you want with your la-di-da job over here. And
I know, it's...
Come and go, and your hour or two lunches, and...
It's kind of true. I don't need to feel...
my...
So compelled to stay
quote-unquote work trips to Disneyland.
will be a work trip next year.
Bullshit.
For sure.
Bunch of bullshit's what that is.
Man... So we haven't had a chance to talk about it, really.
I know. We've seen each other, but I've kind of not asked you. I didn't want to be like, I just didn't want to get it all out of you the right way. You know what I mean? So,
like, everyone who's listened to this is well aware that I am a fucking Disney kid. But the goddamn magic of Disneyland, it's unparalleled. I could not, I had unreasonably high expectations, and they were surpassed. I got misty-eyed no fewer than 5 times.
It doesn't surprise me one bit.
Because there's shit that's there that, like, even when you know how it's done, it's like watching a sleight-of-hand magician, and you know the trick, but it's executed so fucking well that it still makes you feel like there's magic.
Sure, sure.
You know, that's what it was. It was nice. Like, I understand how you built this park. I know the mechanics that went into this. I've watched way too many documentaries about this park that I totally get it. And it still fucking felt like magic.
That's how they keep you coming back all these years, man.
Dude, they will. I'm already ready to come. I'm already trying to figure out when I can pull off my next trip. And what I think, more so than anything, they did successfully... More so than any other place I've ever been, not just amusement park, any other place, it is designed so fucking cinematically and that, like, I feel like the walking paths were designed by, like, a film director, because every turn you make is a perfectly intentional, like, line of sight.
Sure.
To a thing.
Sure.
That, like, it's not just like, oh, I turn a corner, oh, here's this. Like, the reveal around lampposts or around different landmarks within other attractions are so fucking well planned that, like, you can't help but be, like, taken aback by it.
Sure.
Like, even just walking into the park when you, like, turn to where the castle reveal is, from whichever side of Main Street you're coming from, it's still, like... The reveal is so fucking clean. Like, it's so perfect. It's not accidental.
Sure.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that it's so well designed that you feel like it is.
Sure.
Like, every time you turn a corner, you feel like, oh, wow, I found this secret. And of course you didn't.
Right.
But that feeling is super real.
That's cool. Yeah.
I
haven't been since I was a kid. I really need to get back. I need to get back. And... Everything's changed since then, so it's a whole new park. It'd be a whole new experience. So
it was my first time ever, and I'm counting the days to go back.
I'm jealous.
But more importantly, Galaxy's fucking Edge.
Part of me doesn't even want to hear about it.
Dude. Again, unreasonably high expectations, and they were surpassed. Like, it's there's no signs in the park that point to Galaxy's Edge. Like, it is not a thing, like, it is not acknowledged within the park. And so you have to go in through Frontierland, and there's, like, a stone tunnel that looks like the type of stones you would see on a Tatooine, or in this case, on Batuu.
Okay.
As you walk through the tunnel, John Williams' score kicks in, and it's a new John Williams score exclusively for Galaxy's Edge.
Okay.
So it is, and it's John Williams, it is Star Wars, but it's not Star Wars that you know.
Okay.
Like, it's familiar enough that you feel transported there,
right?
But you don't know what the next note is.
Right.
Which, in and of itself, is like, oh, that's a cool fucking approach. And then once you get through that tunnel, there is no reference to Disneyland. Like, they built it up with, like, the fake rocks around. You can't see anything outside of Galaxy's Edge.
That's pretty sweet.
Like, it is full immersion.
That's awesome.
In every sense of the word. And again, the Millennium Falcon reveal. Like, regardless of which side entrance you come from, you come around a corner and just the Falcon just comes in. That's to so focus cool. So clear, where it's just like, it's enough to make a fucking grown man tear up.
Absolutely.
You get fucking goosebumps, man. Yeah. Like, it was just like, holy shit, I'm here.
It's here.
Like, I'm fucking here.
Right.
I'm here. And everything is so, I mean, down to like the labels on the Coke cans.
Right.
Everything is an Arabesh. All of the employees and our cast members and just like refer to you as like a traveler, an off-worlder and shit. Yeah. Like, it is so incredibly immersive and so fucking perfect. And the goddamn so lightsaber jealous. Build. Anybody yeah. that goes, build a fucking... I'm not even going to talk about that experience because I don't want to spoil that. When you go to Galaxy's Edge, all I'm saying is build a lightsaber, but don't look at anything before you do it.
Okay.
Like, go into it. Allow yourself to be captured in the magic.
Okay.
Like, I okay. felt the whole, you know, it's like a 20-25 minute experience. And the whole time I was like, oh, fuck yeah. And then after the fact, like, I was looking online and there's a bunch of just fucking like YouTube videos of people that filmed it and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's still cool, but to be in it is way fucking cooler.
Yep.
Like,
I'm with you.
Do that.
I'm with you.
I cannot stress enough yep. how badly I want people to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so jealous because that's like the first. You know, that's the first theme park, amusement park, whatever you want to call it, kind of built for us.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I love Six Flags. I love Disney before that. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, it was, you know, I don't know, it just didn't feel
right.
set up for
you weren't what I the was target thinking. Audience.
Totally. Had fun, loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't been back in 20-some years. Now,
right.
I'm dying to go just for that.
We experience. Are going next summer. I have zero doubt in my mind that it's going to be an altered state trip. We're going to Disneyland.
I'm in.
You got family in California. We're going to figure it out.
Going to figure it out.
Because it is just,
can't wait.
Chef's kiss.
Hmm.
On the flip side, though, we also went to Disney's California Adventure. That park has Avengers Campus.
Yeah.
Super disappointing.
Is it?
Real dud.
You don't hear much about it. That's kind of what I got. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, I didn't go on either of the rides there because I had my kids with me and they weren't rides that 5-year-olds would have been willing to wait 45 minutes in a line
Fair
for.
Fair enough, yep.
And maybe the rides are awesome. You know, by all accounts, they are. Like, they took Tower of Terror and rebranded it as Guardians of the Galaxy's Prison Break.
Okay.
So instead of just being the Tower of Terror that lifts and drops, they kind of shifted the mechanics to where it's more almost kind of like a bungee thing.
Okay.
Or at least that's kind of what I was told.
Okay.
Looks cool. Looks interesting.
I like that.
And then they have the Spider-Man web slinger ride that's like, again, from what I could gather, I wasn't on it, but it's like you go on a cart and it's like AR to where like you make the Spider-Man motion and it shoots webs into, and you have to like kill these little mechanical spiders and shit, which seems cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't do either of those, but like, it's not immersive at all.
Right.
Like, you just walk in, you're like, oh, here's a couple of Marvel things.
You think that has to be coming down the road though, right? With as much money as they're putting into that.
I don't know how to make it as good as what they did with Star Wars. And I mean, that's why Imagineers are awesome and brilliant, that I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Sure.
But, like, what makes Galaxy's Edge work so well is that it really is a part of the story
sure.
of Star Wars. So, sure. like, you go in, they created a new planet called Batuu. Everything looks like that. It still looks very Star Wars, but it's, you know, it's like that's the John Williams score that sounds Star Wars, but isn't the score you've always
yeah,
heard.
Yeah.
Same thing with the land. Like, it feels like walking through Star Wars, but it's not a part of Star Wars that you've seen.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Necessarily.
I understand. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, like, Avengers Campus is just disparate pieces from the Marvel Universe that are just kind of, like, sitting in the park.
Okay.
And I don't know how you can make a land that's immersive with those disparate pieces. Like you could make a Guardians of the Galaxy land. You know, you could...
But, right, I understand. Yeah.
I guess maybe you'd have to make, like, a fake, like, Marvel New York.
Right.
And have, you know, the Sanctum Sanctorum and have Avengers Tower. And,
sure.
But, like, I just don't quite know how you do that.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Unless you did, like, an Asgard or, like, something along those lines.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you'd have to center in on one of the location. Properties.
Right. Star Wars has the luxury of... Regardless of what planet or, you know, location you're at, it feels Star Wars-y.
Exactly. To some extent. Like they've created enough around Star Wars that you just, whether you're on Tatooine or Hoth or the moons of Endor or Jakku,
right,
or Coruscant, they're all very different environments,
right,
but they all feel the same.
You know
Star
what
Wars.
Universe you're in.
Right.
I know what you mean.
So that's the same thing, whereas like Batuu is kind of, I would say they kind of designed it almost as a blend of, like, Tatooine and the Moon of Endor. It's kind of like a... Yeah, like, it's still very rocky and stone-based, but it's not desert.
Okay.
But in every sensible way, it is Star Wars. Like, you would never... If you didn't know what Batuu was, and you didn't know anything about the story, but you walk in... You still 100% just know you're in Star Wars.
Sure.
Like, it just...
Sure.
I can't explain it as well as I would like
to. I know exactly what you mean,
though. You just know.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it just feels right. Whereas, like, Avengers Campus just... It had some cool, like, little photo op spots, but what it felt like was two rides with a bunch of Instagrammable moments around them.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I think those rides are probably cool.
But it's...
And I also think,
it's not Star Wars.
Exactly.
I know what you mean. Let me, I need to take a quick break real here. Right.
Perfect.
Real here. Right here. I am sweating like a bitch. Be right back.
And we're back.
My bad.
Life goes on.
It does. We're all good.
Sweet.
Did I cut you off? Or are you good to go with your, bragging about your Star Wars adventures?
I mean, I could go for days.
That's what I hear.
But most importantly, I just can't stress enough how badly everyone needs to go and how badly I want to go back.
I'm one of those people, so I'm with you there.
I'll go with you.
You want to talk a little Masters of the Universe?
Oh, man.
Did you watch?
I did.
All?
Uh-huh.
What'd you think?
I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it as well.
And I really didn't think I was going to.
I thought spoilers alert, I'm sure we'll spoil something at some point. I know people shit on it, because I get the argument it wasn't kind of what we were sold, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't sold a He-Man, Masters of the Universe. We were sold
sure.
a Masters of the Universe. First episode is fucking amazing.
Yes.
I mean, that's an amazing episode of animation right there.
Mm-hmm.
People... For the most part, we're just bitching because he wasn't in it as much as they thought. But out of the six episodes, he's pretty much in it, what, four of them?
So, he's in all five.
Is he in all five?
At least in flashback form,
yeah, yeah,
if
that's
nothing
true,
else.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
I also think, they made it as a 10-episode arc, and they are releasing it in two parts, and I have a feeling the back half is going to be pretty hardcore He-Man.
That's kind of what I hear, yeah.
So I don't think...
With your skeleton god.
Yeah. I don't know that that's a fair judgment for the people who have that judgment.
Agreed.
Because
it's not a full season yet.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not seeing... You saw up to the cliffhanger.
Right.
Like,
right.
You also didn't see any fucking Skeletor. People aren't complaining about that. You know,
right.
Like...
Yeah.
But, like, I just went into it not knowing what to think because I was not a He-Man kid.
Sure.
I didn't watch a single episode of He-Man.
Okay.
You know, it was before my time, and then I just never had the interest to revisit it.
Yep. It was never big again after that. So,
right.
Yeah.
So I came into it totally blind. I came into it because it's like, all right, man, like, big Kevin Smith fan. I want to find out, and it's only going to take 2 hours of my time to find out. Like, all right, like, let's see.
Yep.
I like cartoons and shit like that.
Sure.
And I ended up being totally blown away because I didn't have any expectations. You know, like, I think that's a luxury. Like, a lot of people that watch it were He-Man fans.
Absolutely.
So they were looking for something where it's like, I was just looking for a good story, and I feel like I totally got that.
I agree 100%, yeah. I thought the animation was killer.
Oh, it was gorgeous. It was
great. You know, I kind of, in a way, can understand where they're coming from, but not fully because it's not a complete season.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and for the most part, people who do bitch are just bitching because...
they like to bitch.
They wanted to see more of a muscular guy in shorts.
loincloth,
that's
sir.
Basically what I'm getting.
Get it together.
Yeah, so, which, hey, I'm all for.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the harshness of the criticism is just way over the top for me.
I feel like it had so much more heart than I expected it to. And in a really good way. Like, it was like, man, Orko, everything that came out of his mouth after episode one was fucking heartbreaking.
Yep.
And so, like, I just, please, Teela, I just want one more adventure. I won't screw it up. Like,
it was hard.
How do you not, like, be like, oh, yep. man, yep. okay, little brother.
It
like,
was,
come on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's obviously somewhat of a continuation of the cartoon in the 80s, but it's much more of an adult story. Like, you know, if I was the 14 or 12-year-old me, whatever it was when I was watching that, I don't know if I would have dug that.
Yeah.
It's a little too, I mean, it's not, I want to say more violent, but it's very, it's a lot of action.
I think it's very clearly for people who were fans of He-Man that are now
late 30s,
our generation.
Yep.
You know, like, and I think that's like, it definitely still plays for kids. Like, it's not adult.
No, not at all, yeah.
But it is, the goal was to talk to our generation.
Sure.
I think you can, and that's, I think that's a good move to make, you know?
Agreed.
It's the exact opposite thing that, it's one of the great failures of Space Jam, A New Legacy.
Not yet.
Which we'll get into eventually.
Pump the brakes. One disaster at a time. No, He-Man is, or Master of the Universe is not a disaster whatsoever. I thought that was a fantastic animated series. I'm excited to see the rest of them. Do you know when they come out? I'm not familiar.
I don't know that Netflix has announced.
Okay.
But I know that, like, I think they've locked at least through episode 8, I think. So I think there's only two more that they have to, like,
animate or
put the pieces together on.
Okay.
I would assume we get them before end of year.
I would assume that, yeah.
You know, in the next 2 or 3 months, I would hope, to capitalize, just because, like, the first 5 are really strong.
Right. Well, if nothing else, to let people know, this isn't the final story. Like, I think a lot of people were like, oh, well, that's it? No, it's fucking not it, of course. I mean, it ends on a way that, obviously, that is not it.
Yeah.
If you think that's it, then I can't help you figure out what's wrong with your life.
But I also think if that's it for a year, then
that's
it
hard.
Will sink.
That's a hard one. Yeah, agreed.
Like, you cannot come back from the dead after not really existing for 40 years.
Right.
And then end a season that way.
Agreed 100%.
Like, that can be a season cliffhanger at season 3 or 4 when you've reestablished yourself.
Sure.
But right now, like, you are just trying to get a foothold. It's a dangerous game to let that cliffhanger hang for that long, too long.
I was thinking about this, and if everything in the episode was exactly the same, except that scene in the beginning when he sacrifices himself,
uh-huh.
if that was the end, people would have been okay with it.
Yeah.
I really think that. I think people watched
think
that first
possible.
Episode and then just said, fuck this. Because
yeah.
they're like, oh, well, He-Man's not in it. I don't think that, I honestly do not, I would love to see the amount of people who watched one and then nothing else. And those same people who bitch about the entire thing. You know what I mean?
I don't understand how you could watch one and not the rest. Because it was such a compelling episode.
Me
it was
too.
Like, I was definitely shocked at
I
the end.
I was very shocked.
But I was like, now I have to see what's next.
At the same time, I was shocked, but I'm like, I'm glad a fucking He-Man cartoon can shock me. Like,
exactly.
That's great storytelling.
Right.
That's
like,
what
it
should
made
be.
Perfect
yes.
sense. And it's also like, it was one of those things, like, it was shocking and made me want to see what's next, but it was also like, anyone who bitches, like, they killed He-Man, is like, have you ever seen a fantasy cartoon?
All right, yeah.
Like, what the fuck is it? No right. one dies.
But you know what
We're not at the end here. Like,
I never knew anything about He-Man lore.
Yeah, me neither.
So when they find all the other He-Men or whatever, I thought that was fucking awesome.
Right, cool. I thought that was tight.
That's going to be, it's like a Black Panther kind of thing. Sweet. Yeah. You can kind of go back in this plane of existence and they're still kind of there.
Yeah. That the heroes of past, cool. The champions of past. Absolutely. Fuck yeah. It was tight.
I thought that was really cool.
And I love that the one was voiced by the Allstate guy.
Totally. Yes.
Like, as soon as his mouth opened, I was like, wait, what?
He'll always be...
You selling me insurance, bro?
Oh, shit, I forgot his name now. From Major League. He'll always be that guy to me.
Holy shit, he is the guy in Major...
The voodoo guy. What the hell? I just remember Joe Boo's rum. I can't remember his name, though. What religion does he practice? Man. Voodoo.
Yeah, the Allstate guy, that was the only... Of all of the wonderful voice acting in there and all the huge names, that was the only one that took me out of it.
That's funny. You know, like, that's funny. So silky smooth.
Lena Headey, yep. Sarah Michelle Gellar, fucking Mark Hamill.
Lena Headey was really good. I dug Eva Lynn's character. She's incredible. I thought that was a good story right there, too.
But it was like, these are a lot of really recognizable voices, mm-hmm. and it didn't take me out of it, but his did.
A little bit.
Like, his was the one that I was like,
a little bit.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, yeah. Not as much as that probably you're saying, but I noticed it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, it wasn't like, do I need to check my insurance? But I noticed it.
The dude that played Orko, though, he was my MVP, my unexpected.
Yep.
You know, like, I coming into it, you know, Mark Hamill's gonna crush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the best voice actors of the generation, undisputable.
Absolutely.
Lena Headey, have all the faith in the world in.
Yep.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, all the faith in the world in. Like, these are big names. Mm-hmm. The dude was Adam Wood, is it?
Is that Man of Arms?
No, the guy who plays who plays Prince Adam.
Oh,
Chris Wood, something Wood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had enough bona fides that I was like, all right, I'm here for it.
Yep.
Fucking Sir Davos is Man yep. at Arms. I'm here
yep.
for.
Yep.
But like the guy Griffin Newman, I think is his name, the guy who played Orko.
Okay.
The only thing I knew him from was Arthur in the Tick series on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, I know that series, but I was never deep into it.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. It was really funny. But he played Arthur.
I know it mostly from Ted.
So I was like, all right, like, let's see what he's got. And then as soon as, like, first of all, the writing on Orko was just killer anyway. Like,
it was.
But, like, he brought some real pathos to some really good fucking writing. I was like, all right, Griffin Newman, you're on my radar now.
Yep.
I'll be looking for your name in the future.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah, dude, it was just fucking, it was.
Yeah, well, I was shocked I won't say got panned. It got hit hard as much as it did.
Did it really?
It did, man.
I didn't pay attention to the reviews so much.
People really shit on it. I enjoyed Kevin Smith's, not want to say the comeback, but his reply was, grow up.
Yeah,
because people basically were like, "You're replacing another one of my superheroes with a woman." That was all their.
Oh my god!
I'm not agreeing, just replying. You know, right. telling what the Twitter trolls were saying, and I don't. That didn't happen. One, that didn't happen.
Right.
She didn't become He-Man.
She didn't
or,
become the champion.
And guess what? There's a fucking She-Ra. So that was all part of. She was part of
Right. As Tila has always been a master. Has always been part of that crew. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
she's not a new character.
Yeah, I don't go deep on Masters of the Universe, but
right.
like,
right.
she's always been one of the badasses on that team,
correct.
Yes?
Correct. And from the first moment I saw her, I'm like, oh, Man-Am's Arms child, she will eventually become She-Ra. That's kind of just what I figured. And then they'll have a spinoff in two shows or one show. Who knows? You know, but I... So it didn't shock me when...
It felt like the logical bit of storyline, right. and it also feels like... Right. What I saw, again, I don't have the baggage of being a Masters of the Universe fan already.
And that's the thing, but is like, there's not that much baggage. There's like, what, three seasons in the 80s of fucking... That's
right.
That's but it. Like, you know what I mean?
For me, I see episode one, you quote-unquote kill off your big hero and your big bad.
Right.
So like in my head, I'm like, oh, cool. Now that means you're going to give me a series focused on characters that have never gotten to shine to their fullest.
Right.
Like, as a storytelling device, that's really interesting.
Right.
With also the understanding of having watched fantasy my whole life, like, our hero and our big bad will come back.
Of course.
Like, of course they will.
Of course.
So, like, you're just going to let... You're going to let Orko and Man-at-Arms and Tila and Eva Lynn shine?
Right.
Like, okay.
Right.
That seems pretty tight to me.
It's basically no different than, you know, Thor cutting off Thanos' head in like the first 20 minutes.
Right.
You know that's going to happen again.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Stay tuned.
Right. It's the moment that's like, right. Oh, fuck, cool. You know,
same bat time, same bat channel, kids. Just right. Tune in next week and you're going to get, I know, I just, you know, hey, what are you going to do?
Huh.
I mean, we also have a podcast where we bitch about everything else too. So I'm not saying sure, one person's gripe is more important than the others, but.
It is.
When you, right?
Our opinion's more valid.
Based on downloads and views, it absolutely is. But the argument itself was, to me, not an argument. For the most people's argument.
That just seems like some insecure fans. Like
I agree 100%.
It's totally fine to dislike a thing because you don't engage with it.
Right.
It's completely different to be like,
you change
this
my
ruin stuff because it's right. a girl. Right. Like, all right. Right. Whoa, 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 whoa.
I've been on this world for 43 years, and I can tell you unequivocally, nothing in my life has ever been ruined by boobs.
I can also say, as a fan of things...
Animated boobs at that. Right. It wasn't even like, you know what I mean?
As a fan of things that have been sequelized poorly, never has a sequel erased the original thing from existence or right. lessened my... Like, I think I got in this fight... pretty hardcore in 2016 with Ghostbusters.
Sure.
And
sure.
people got up and all like, it's a bunch of girls. And it was like, so I remember seeing it and being like, all right, let's first get out of the way. It's not a good movie.
Sure.
Has nothing to sure. do with the comedians involved.
Not at all.
I find all four of them to be very funny. That was a shit script and poor production.
Yep.
Get that out of the way. That aside, people are like, it ruined Ghostbusters. Like, you know what? No. Ghostbusters is my favorite movie of all time.
Yep.
And I can still go watch it. My experience of loving Ghostbusters yep. is entirely unaffected
right.
by the fact that someone did a bad job making a Ghostbusters movie in 2016.
Right. To me,
completely unaffected.
One of the greatest comedies of all time is Caddyshack.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the worst of all time is Caddyshack 2.
Right.
They.
It does not. It, doesn't one change, thing does not ruin all. Another thing.
Not at all. It in a weird way makes you appreciate one thing more than the other.
That was my big thing out of
so
watching.
So if you don't like the new He-Man, cool. There's the old.
There's
shit
140
you can still
watch. Some odd fucking episodes.
That's right.
That still exist. That's your right. DVDs are still in your closet.
All yours. That's right.
Just watch them.
That's right.
Like that's fine.
Yep. Yep. VHS, probably not on DVD. Hasbro didn't put shit out. Or Mattel. Was it Mattel? Mattel. Mattel's got He-Man, right? Hasbro's got G.I. Joe.
I don't know.
I think it's Mattel.
That sounds like a Mattel thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was so funny the other day. This is kind of on the same page. I haven't seen the movie yet. But someone asked me, I forget where I was. I may have been at DB's. That's probably a safe bet. It's probably at DB's.
Always is.
Having a drink or two. Just sitting there. And I think I was showing off my new movies tattoo, right?
So hey.
Got the movies tattoo. And then someone I didn't know on the other side of the room, like, oh, have you seen that new Snake Eyes movie? Who the fuck is this guy? And I forgot, I got a goddamn Snake Eyes tattoo on this arm, too. So he thought I was showing off, like, the Snake Eyes thing. I'm like, no, why? He's like, well, your arm. I'm like, oh, yeah. No, haven't seen that yet. I don't know if it's out yet, so.
I think it came out.
I thought that was an HBO Max one. Or is it just.
No, that's Sony?
Okay.
Is that's it Sony or Paramount? But it's not.
It's probably Hasbro again.
It's not Warner Brothers.
Okay. Oh, I'm thinking Suicide Squad's fucking HBO Max.
That's yeah, why, and that's this Friday.
Yes,
that's
which coming I'm extremely up. Excited Very, for.
Me too. I had totally forgotten about it until I logged into HBO Max Friday night and saw the little thing. I was like, August 6th. Oh, fuck, August 6th is this week.
And
fucking
I know
tight.
I know you're not a big wrestling guy, but how fun is John Cena just showing up everywhere in that Peacemaker outfit?
Oh,
have you seen that?
Yeah.
He walks down Hollywood Boulevard dressed as the Peacemaker.
I'm here for it. I
if you're having fun.
Over under... on how many minutes into the movie before he's dead?
12.
That's a really great over-under. That's a fuck.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to beat.
Yep.
I
say that, but at the same... I mean, there's no way he makes it through.
No.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be milking it as hard as he is.
There's no way.
Now, having said that, as much as he's milking it, it would not surprise me if at some point we get some random Peacemaker spin-off.
Well, we are.
Are we?
HBO Max is doing a Peacemaker show.
I saw that. That's right. Yeah. I knew that. That's why he's going hard with it. Yeah, so I'm saying...
But I think it'll be a... I have a feeling...
20
that it'll
tops.
Be a Peacemaker, like, prequel show, because I think he's got to die.
Let me ask you that. Do we know what the runtime is yet for Suicide Squad? Is it a two-and-a-half, or is it a two?
If it's James Gunn, I'm going to guess it's a 2.
Okay. I was going to say, if it's like a 2.5, I'd maybe go half hour. But if it's
a 2.5, then we've got a problem. Like, 2.5 is too long for
it
that
looks
movie.
Like it's too much of a fun movie to be that long.
That's what you I'm saying. What I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like that's a failure of the form.
Yes.
If the movie is over 2. And I think 2 is a stretch.
I do too.
I would be happiest at like 50. A 145.
Yeah.
That's the number I'd like to see.
I'm with you there. That's what I'm working on in the gym too. Good 145.
Get to that 145.
Yep. Almost there. What else? You got any more Master of the Universe stuff you want to get off your chest?
I don't.
Okay.
But we did, bring up the HBO Max.
We did, yes.
And I spent a little time on the HBO Max on Friday.
Yeah?
How
much time?
1 hour and 56 minutes too many.
Okay. Oh, I know where this is going.
So, I am not a Space Jam guy to begin with.
Yep.
I'm a child of, I was born in the late 80s. I am the perfect age group. Of course, I watched Space Jam.
Yeah.
And I didn't hate it
when
I was a kid.
Right.
I was probably like 10 years old when it came
out.
What
did you hate as a kid?
That's a fair point.
No 8-year-old is like, fuck this Jordan movie. This is ridiculous, playing with Bugs Bunny and Marvin the Martian. I'm out. No, you love it.
Yeah. So I wasn't in a hurry to see the new Space Jam. However, my kids have been known to enjoy a Happy Meal because they've got a fat dad who takes them to McDonald's. McDonald's is doing Space Jam toys.
Sure.
So they've played with a couple of the toys.
Okay.
So,
what were the toys? Just curious.
One was an animated LeBron James that passes a ball between his hands.
Okay.
I
was going to say, because LeBron doesn't know how to pass.
Only to himself.
Look at me telling basketball jokes over here. Sports podcast, here we come.
And then there's like a Daffy Duck kicking a basketball or some shit.
Okay.
I
miss the days when the McDonald's toys were the shit.
Fuck yeah.
That was like... That's what got me into toys.
It was awesome.
But anyways,
So my kids were interested.
Sure.
They were signed up.
Yeah.
It's free on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm. So the marketing worked.
Well, right. And in my head, I'm like, okay, Space Jam's not a great movie. So in my head, Space Jam 2 is not going to be better or worse than Space Jam 1.
Sure.
It's going to be mediocre kids' movies. Okay. I'm fine with that. You know, my expectations are healthy. You don't need to blow my hair back. You got to make an entertaining movie that probably doesn't make sense, but it's fun for kids.
Sure.
Get it done.
Yep.
This is quite possibly the worst expensive movie I've ever seen.
Really?
Like, I'm scanning my head.
Yeah.
I cannot think of an expensive movie that is worse than this.
I won't even make the joke, because have you not watched the Fast and the Furious franchise?
Of course not.
Okay. Then you haven't seen a movie more expensive. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
that goes like $1 billion to make.
I could imagine. But at least those know how to talk to their fans.
Fair enough.
I'm sure I would think they're terrible, but they do well because they speak to their fans. And this is the biggest failure of Space Jam 2. Because if you're making Space Jam 2, 20 years after the first one? 25
years?
More.
Right, yeah.
You have two options. You can make just a kids' basketball Looney Tunes movie that captures the imagination of a generation, same as the first one did. Right? Kind of like what Disney just did with the Mighty Ducks series.
Sure.
Mighty Ducks series was not made for me as a kid that grew up on Mighty Ducks.
Right.
That's straight up made for kids right now.
Yep.
Okay. Perfect route. Option two, you completely lean into it and make a movie specifically speaking to the people who were fans of the original,
mm-hmm.
a la what Masters of the Universe just did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a kid's movie, it's a kid's cartoon, but its target audience is our generation, right? Those are your two roads.
Yeah.
Choose either one can yield success. They did neither. And like, it felt like Warner Brothers was just trying really hard to say, look, we're as good as Disney. We have so much property. Because the entire thing was just an excuse to show off what Warner Brothers owns.
Of course.
Like, right. Within moments, they're going through the serververse, and it's just, like, going past, like, it's showing all the characters in, like, all the Looney Tunes pop up in fucking Game of Thrones, in King Kong, in DC Comics, in The Matrix.
Yeah.
In Casablanca.
Sure, of course you did that.
Because that's how you capture the imaginations of youth. Fucking Casablanca.
Yeah.
Fuck you. That is so stupid.
That's terrible.
Like, and it showed up twice, no less. Casablanca shows up twice. What are we doing here? The basketballs, it was so bad that Don Cheadle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot he
was horrible.
No, that's not fair.
Like, not just, it wasn't like it was a bad script that he did a good job of. If this was my first exposure to Don Cheadle, he would never get hired again. We're talking about Academy Award nominated, Emmy winning Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle of a 25-year wonderful career. Look, doing comedic roles, doing dramatic roles, doing action roles. He's done it all and done it with aplomb. In this movie, he is awful. He is embarrassing.
All washed away now.
It is unbelievable. I was like, how did you get this bad of a performance from this good of a performer?
I wasn't going to watch it regardless. One, you know, people my generation get mad when I say this. The first one was not good.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy the first one. I love Michael Jordan. First one was not good.
Yeah.
You know why? Because if basketball players could act, they wouldn't be basketball players.
I'm saying.
Great at commercials. Do your thing at commercials. I got no problem with. Two, Michael Jordan in that time frame was loved by the world.
Mm-hmm.
People know who LeBron James is. He is not loved by the world the same way Michael Jordan was. So you're not going to get the casual, oh, I know the Michael Jordan name or LeBron. They're not going to just run to it like back in the day. And from the previews I've seen, Who Framed Roger Rabbit still had better animation than this piece of shit. And
it did.
I don't understand that one bit. If you're going to do something with animation and that, give me another Roger Rabbit. Give me something like that. You don't need to do a Space Jam where no one cares about any of it. You can showcase every piece of shit movie and property you have in a that type of thing.
Right.
Do it. Don't care.
It felt like such a desperate stab from LeBron James to say, look, I am as good as Michael Jordan.
Right.
And it reeked of it.
And that's what he wants more than anything.
Right. And it's like, for all intents and purposes, LeBron James seems like a good guy.
I don't personally have a problem with the guy.
But it just feels like, bro.
You're trying too hard.
You gotta let this go, man.
Right. Right. I agree.
It just doesn't. This movie also doesn't paint LeBron James in a good light. Like, he's a really shitty dad and not a very good teammate.
That I can get behind.
And all of these things is like, bro, did you sign off on this? Like, you don't come out of this looking good.
Yeah, yeah. It's a character.
And there's also one of the biggest failures to me of it. Seems like, so like in the original Space Jam, you have the opening scene where it's like Michael is a kid, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
And then the whole opening credits is the montage of Michael coming up
right.
to becoming a champion, right? And the soundtrack to that opening credit is Welcome to the Space Jam, which that song alone is like half the fucking reason that movie was loved.
Yeah.
Because that's a banger,
right.
All right? It just is. No way around it. It is a perfect song for what it is.
Right.
It's exactly what they needed. It is pitch perfect, right? This movie starts very similar. A young LeBron. First of all, this movie lost me 2.5 minutes in. I'll tell you why. It opens with LeBron James as a kid going to a basketball game, and he's playing a Game Boy.
Okay.
This is 1998. So he's playing a Game Boy, and he gets there. He misses the big shot to win the game. Coach sees that he has a Game Boy. you're not in the game, you're distracted. Mind you, also in the beginning of this, LeBron's mom drops him off at the game, but she can't come in because she's got to go work the third shift at the diner because they're poor, so she can't see him, right? Coach yells at him for having Game Boy at the game. This motherfucker throws his Game Boy in the garbage.
The coach does or LeBron does?
LeBron does.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Bro,
yeah.
Your mom is working third shift at the diner for you to play ball, and you're throwing away a Game Boy?
That's right.
That first off lost me. Yep. But then, so that's your setup scenes, right? And then it goes into the opening credits, and you see LeBron cut. Like, it's the same formula, right? How do you not just have a 2021 remix of Welcome to the Space Jam? How do you not hire fucking Fall Out Boy and goddamn, I don't know, whatever rapper is hot right now,
right.
Post Malone, some
right.
shit. Put them two together.
Franklin's available.
Get two fucking hot names, one in rock, one in rap. Fall Out Boy's the perfect.
I'm with you.
And you just have them make, you have them do Welcome to the Space Jam.
Right.
Same fucking song.
2021 remix.
But dude, is a 20. Like, that's a gimme.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's a layup.
Like it. As you were saying that,
it's just infuriating. how do you miss that? You just put a forgettable bullshit song there.
Yeah.
That, like...
I wrote, when you were talking about that, I wrote this down. We got to do this for the future podcast. Soundtracks better than their movie.
Mm.
Right? There are many, many soundtracks that are just bangers, and I never once even saw the movie.
Yep.
Or if I did, I was so pissed.
Space Jam is 100% one of them.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, like, I understand why you don't revisit I Believe I Can Fly. You don't want to touch R. Kelly right now.
Ooh, I forgot that was, yeah.
Yeah, but you... Right, R. Kelly might want to touch you,
you
but
don't
you don't want to
touch
R.
Kelly right now. Yeah.
But, like, Welcome to the Space... It's a fucking gimme.
Yeah.
How
I
is that...
I forgot about I Believe I Can Fly, which was Space Jam. I totally forgot about that. Yeah. For some reason, I thought that was from Like Mike. Remember that one?
Mm,
it was almost like it was a... It wasn't like a, you know...
It was a response to Space Jam.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Was that Lil Bow Wow?
Lil Bow Wow. Get
right.
those T's out of this, bro.
Well, I got a speech impediment.
It was, like, just all the way through. Horrible.
Yep. I wasn't an original Space Jam fan. I'm not a LeBron fan. So I am not the audience for this whatsoever.
I don't think there is one for this.
LeBron's got kids. Probably his kids watched it. No?
Probably only to punk him.
Maybe not.
There was also a really... There was an odd Chappelle's Show reference in it.
Really?
So it was like... It took me out of it, but I was glad to be out of it for a minute.
Yeah.
It was like towards the end, they're playing a game, and Granny from the Looney Tunes dunks a ball. Game. Blouses. I was like... What? I looked at Libby. I was like, "Is this what we're doing?" And Libby didn't pick up on it. I was like, "Yeah, that's Chappelle."
That's terrible.
What the fuck are we doing
that's
here?
Terrible.
Yeah, and like the whole crowd is just all of the Warner Brothers back catalog.
Sure.
Like it's just like.
Yeah. Do they go with any like the old racist characters like that they don't use anymore? They're just sitting in the stands.
No, there's no Hong Kong food.
Right. Yeah. Or were the Black Crows, were they Warner Brothers? Or was that Disney?
I think that was Disney.
It might have been Disney, yeah. Oh, some terrible stuff. Terrible stuff.
Yeah, boy, was it a mess.
Sure, sure. Before we get into the Ghostbusters trailer, my good friend Bob Odenkirk, did you see he had a little heart attack? He's out of the hospital. He's doing all right.
This is a relief. American treasure, Bob Odenkirk.
Dude, Bob Odenkirk is... I love Bob Odenkirk. And
yeah.
I don't think people realize how long he's been doing what he's doing and making us laugh.
Right.
I mean, he was an SNL writer, a Simpsons writer, you know, he Mr. Show, obviously. I mean, you know, the stuff that people know him from, but he wrote so much that people don't really realize that he had a piece of... Oh.
He is in the same class as Conan O'Brien.
Absolutely.
And you think about, like, Conan O'Brien...
I'm pretty sure he wrote on Conan, too. Yeah, right.
You know, like that, he's been, Conan O'Brien has been part of the pop culture zeitgeist since I was an infant.
Yep.
Bob Odenkirk plays that same game.
Absolutely.
He just didn't get the visible notoriety until like fucking Breaking Bad.
Right, totally. Well, no one knew he could really act until that because he was more of a writer or, you know, it was never
a
star or anything. Totally.
You know, he was Mr. Show.
Absolutely. Which it still shocks me when people don't know about Mr. Show. I know it was my generation thing, and not everybody has watched, but people who just don't know, like, how do you not know about this?
I think Mr. Show,
especially
just like Tenacious D, is one of the just like the perfect definition of like what it is to be either late Gen X or early millennial.
Sure.
Like where the generational divide is between Gen X and millennial is Mr. Show and Tenacious D.
One of my favorite little monologues they start off Mr. Show with, like, you know, Bob and Dave are like a year apart, you know what I mean? They're not like that far apart, but they did this skit like David was all Gen X, you know, and Bob was a little bit the older guy. He's like, we don't get along anymore. He's like, you like Star Wars, I like Empire Strikes Back, we just don't have anything in common, you know? it's fucking hilarious. Anything on Mr. Show, there is nothing bad. If you have never seen Mr. Show, turn this off right now and go watch Mr. Show.
Yeah, we're 46 minutes in.
We already got your stuff. You're good to go.
It's on HBO Max.
Yeah. I don't care what season. There's like four seasons. Watch any of them. I don't care which one. You're going to laugh your fucking ass off start to finish.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's a funny fucking show.
That's the best sketch comedy show to me of all time.
Really?
Yep.
You'd put it over Chappelle.
I think I would. I think I would. It's close. And that's not taking anything away from Chappelle.
Sure. You're talking about two Hall of Famers.
Oh, absolutely, right? You know, yeah. It's 1A and 1B kind of, you know what I mean? There's no... but I think...
It's just like the Cardinals rotation where you got Wainwright and Lester.
Jesus Christ.
You know, 1A and 1B.
No kidding. Yeah, which one's going to blow their hip out first? When I think about it, I love Chappelle's show. But there's a handful that are, like, you know, there's always a dud sketch here or there.
Yeah.
I'm very hard-pressed to think of a dud sketch that just did not work at all on Mr. Show.
Yeah?
They're not all the best of all time, but even the ones I'm like, I could skip through that, still makes me smile. And, like, you know, Chappelle's show has that too, but, of course, that's still on all the time, so I catch reruns here and there. And, you know, most of them are pretty funny. But at the same time, in a short window, what do you think, like three seasons that he was on?
Two.
A lot of repeat sketches. Like, Ask a Black Dude was two or three times. You know, I'm not saying it's bad, but it wasn't a whole lot of new characters all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it bad, but it was just, you know, the crackhead thing, great, but he was on there like three or four times.
Yeah.
You know, not bad. But Mr. Show, I don't think, except for one... sketch. I don't think they ever repeated a character or, you know, just...
Wow.
It's great. I mean, it's all great.
It's a good show.
It's great. Did you ever watch Ben Stiller's show?
No.
It was only on for like a season. It was like a sketch show, but it was basically Mr. Show before they did, like, they did that, and then it was on Fox, like, early days of Fox. So Bob Gilkirk was on it. Paul F. Tompkins was on it. You know, all those same guys from Mr. Show, and then it just got shut down.
That's the type of comedy... that just doesn't work on a network.
Absolutely.
At that time.
Absolutely.
Especially. You know, like, we're talking late 90s, early 2000s. Like,
Ben Stiller's show would have been, like, probably 96. 95, 96.
Yeah. Still, like, you can't...
Janine Garofalo's on it. You know,
that's an HBO audience.
100%.
That's not a network TV 100%. Audience.
But at that point, they hadn't really done that on HBO. HBO had only done, like...
Right.
Half-hour specials, like the Young Comedies, Young Comedy things or whatever. Early days of HBO, well, some of it was a shit. It was like the early days of Fox. I know HBO got kind of known for like Real Sex and stuff, but those early days, it was any piece of shit you could find that had the F word in it, they would throw it on TV. I mean, it was
just
hard
for the sake
watching.
Of being the only people allowed to say fuck on TV.
Absolutely. Pretty much all it was. You got HBO, we can hear the word fuck tonight. Let's go. That's all it was.
Fucking titties. HBO.
So get better Bob. That's where they But I mean I love Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul. I'm just happy he's doing shocking because he just got in the best shape of his life for nobody. And then all of a sudden, fucking heart attack. What are you gonna do?
Shit happens.
What are you gonna do?
Not get in shape. That's what I'm going to do.
Right. Yeah, just maintain.
See, I feel like where I'm at in my life, it's kind of like how when you drive a car into the fucking dirt, they say, yeah, you should change your transmission fluid, but if you change it now, it'll probably, like, the tar in it is what's holding it together. That's like my heart. The tar in it is what's keeping me moving.
That's right.
If I change that, I'm going to drop dead.
That's right. One Clark Goddard never hurt anybody.
Right.
What was I going to say? One last, I forget what I was going to say. Yeah, it doesn't matter. We're good. We're good. Only thing left on my list is Ghostbusters. You want to get, you got something
the
else before Ghostbusters?
The only thing that's left on any list. The only thing left to live for. Ghostbusters 2020.
I told you before we came up, before we signed on. Love speaking radio jargon. Good friend of the show, Joe, hit me up at like 4:30 a.m. Sent me the link to the trailer, which I had already seen, Joe. And then, you know, like a breakdown of, can you believe this? You know, and he'd been looking at it, obviously, for hours on end. Great fucking trailer.
Fucking.
My only concern, no jokes yet. I didn't hear any jokes in there.
That doesn't concern me.
It's not concerned, but I know they're going to be there.
I am actually kind of glad for that.
Yeah? I mean, with Paul Rudd that cast, it's going to be funny, obviously.
Well, when I think back on, like, what makes Ghostbusters work so fucking well, it is without a doubt a comedy, but it takes the horror element seriously.
Well, that's part of, yeah, I was going
to
say.
And I think, especially when it comes to trailer, it feels like it's probably trying to be a bit of an overcorrect from 2016.
Yeah.
That was sold strictly as a comedy.
Yeah.
I think this one's going to be like, no, we're legit.
Yeah.
But I mean, you've got fucking Paul Rudd.
Yep.
You've got Dan Aykroyd.
Yep.
Bill Murray's in there.
Right.
Sigourney Weaver's, like, it's right. Gonna be funny. And there was a, like,
Rick fucking Moranis.
There was a couple of moments where you could see, like, Finn Wolfhard as just, like, the shitty, snarky kid that's like, that dude's gonna be funny.
Sure, sure.
You can see where that character is gonna be just, like, deadpan and shitty to his mom and shitty to his sister in funny ways.
And I don't know if I just didn't recognize him until this trailer or if they didn't show her as much in the previous stuff, but Egon's granddaughter looks just like fucking Egon.
Oh, they nailed
that's fantastic.
They nailed it.
Fantastic. You know, I love that. You know, they bring her off as pretty much just like him. He's kind of an introvert, you know, like, finds the fucking puzzle thing in the floor, finds the fucking ghost trap. Oh, I love it. I love it, dude.
And just, like, that last sequence when the occult bookshop phone rings from Ghostbusters 2 and you hear Dan's voice, it just feels like fucking home.
It does.
You know,
it
like,
does.
Everything about it just feels like, God damn you, Jason Reitman, you fucking did it.
Yep. Yeah, talk about things where a grown man might cry once or twice. I feel like
I have zero doubt in my mind.
They start showing some Egon shit, I will probably lose it. I will lose it.
There is not...
Even if I have the feeling, even if it's like the funniest part of the movie, and Rick Moranis walks on the screen, I might just start crying.
I am telling you right now, if I leave that theater and don't get Misty once, that is a failure of that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that is how unreasonably high my expectations are, and I fully believe it will meet them.
Yep, yep. I mean, just that trailer alone, they did such an amazing job of mixing the past with this new movie.
Right.
Like, it's not a, you know, takes place in a different part of the country, so it's not going to be New York-y, you know what I mean? But they still, but...
And you can tell... It's fucking Gozer and Zooli.
Absolutely.
Like
absolutely.
That,
you basically see her coming out of that hole.
Right. That alone, like, when you see the demon dogs.
Or all the
like,
little Stay Puft marshmallows.
Yes.
Yeah,
when you see the demon dogs, it's like, all right, man. Like, you're leaning in.
Yep.
You're giving me fucking Zool.
Yep.
Like, all right.
Yep. Which makes me
think. You're giving me fucking Gozer the Gozerian.
That's how you have to show Rick Moranis. He sees that dog, right?
Oh,
it has to happen. It has to happen. I mean... And maybe somewhere like, I mean, maybe not, but if Rick Moranis is there, he has to at least see those dogs, right? I mean, it has to. It's great.
And I just like, I don't, there's so much about it that just feels so. And what I appreciate, at least about the trailer, is certainly it looks like the kids are the stars and the kids are going to be doing the heavy lifting, but it also doesn't feel like the kids, like, have to become Ghostbusters.
Right.
So there's nothing about this trailer that's like, all right, we're trying to launch a new franchise.
Right.
Like,
right.
Could this get a sequel? I would imagine that they are going to leave it open-ended enough that a sequel could exist.
Yep.
But in a world where so many fucking studios. Every goddamn studio is racing to build the next franchise. And oftentimes, first movies kind of suck because of it. Mm-hmm. Because they sacrifice too much thinking about what they'll be able to do in the future.
Right.
This, at least at face value, from what we've seen so far, doesn't feel like that. Like, this feels like it's going to be, just like Ghostbusters 1, a self-contained movie.
Right.
That, if it works, and the cast wants to come back, you can sequelize, but you don't necessarily need to.
Sure.
And yeah, am I grateful for that.
Totally. I mean, the way it sets it up, it's like, all right, well, maybe Ernie Hudson's kids, you know, and that's part of the country. You know, I mean, not saying you could do that, but you could easily, you know, the new Avengers, the new Ghostbusters, or whatever, the young Ghostbusters. You know, that's right. You don't call it that, obviously, but that's a universe that's begging to be used. It's right there for you.
God, do I love it. God, do I fucking love the Ghostbusters.
Is, fuck, what's his real name? This man has no dick.
Bill Murray?
No, the red-headed guy who shuts him down. What the fuck's his name? Mr. Pecker.
Walter Peck?
Yeah. Is he still alive? How do you not have him? You know what I mean? That'd be a great pop-up. I don't know if he is.
Who played Walter Peck?
I know him mainly from the greatest Val Kilmer movie of all time, Real Genius.
Holy shit, he is that guy.
Yep. Speaking of, that documentary comes out soon, and I am dying to see that.
Yeah?
The Val Kilmer one. Uh-huh. Have you seen the preview for that?
I haven't.
It looks... You're going to cry. It looks sad as fuck. I didn't realize how bad his cancer was. But that's why he got so big over the years.
No shit.
He has throat cancer. I had no idea.
I didn't know that.
Yep, he's got a box in his throat now, I guess.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I had no idea. But apparently, he's been following himself around with a camera since, like, his very first movie.
All right, guy's name is William Atherton.
Okay.
Big
80s character actor,
doesn't
right?
Seem dead.
Okay, doesn't seem dead. There's no end date right there.
Yeah, I don't see an end date. Let's pull up this filmography.
But he's one of those guys that makes me nervous, like the principal in Ferris Bueller. Like, maybe he got busted for child porn at some point.
Mm. Well, his most recent credit was Bad Company in 2018.
Okay, don't know that movie.
What has he done? Oh, he was on that show Defiance that was on Sci-Fi. It took place in St. Louis.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That had, like, the decrepit arch that was kind of cool.
Yep.
He was on an episode of Children's Hospital, speaking of kind of the nature show type human.
I remember that now. Yeah.
He
okay.
was in Workaholics. Okay.
Yep.
Tim and Eric's billion-dollar movie. He swam in those waters for a while.
Yep. Wasn't he also... He was the bad guy in Biodome.
He was the bad guy in Biodome. Like, now I'm just kind of in, like, the mid-2000s where he seems to kind of...
The great Pauly Shore vehicle, Biodome.
Yeah, he's just kind of in...
Maybe Stephen Baldwin's best movie?
Stuff for a while.
What else has he done?
Stephen Baldwin's best movie is probably Alec Baldwin's home video for Christmas 1965. It's going to be my guess, is that Stephen Baldwin's best vehicle. He was the bad guy in Biodome. He was in The Pelican Brief. Can't forget that.
I did.
A few episodes of Murder, She Wrote.
Okay, so first, yeah.
Die Hard 2.
Oh, shit.
And Die Hard with Thornburg.
That's right.
And Die Hard and Die Hard 2.
Of course. Yeah, so he's been everywhere.
Yep. Real Genius was following Ghostbusters.
Was it really?
Yeah. That was a year later.
I could see that.
Those were his back-to-back credits. Ghostbusters 84, Real Genius 85.
Real Genius was more of a co-starring role than, obviously, Ghostbusters. So, yeah, I can see that. Yes, it's
so
true.
Is
man has no dick.
Yes, Your Honor. It is true. Walter Peck.
I mean, even if
the unsung hero of Ghostbusters.
Right? I mean, you got to have a great asshole to give Bill Murray something to play off of.
Well, his IMDb currently does not credit him in Ghostbusters.
Well, sure.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Right.
So
right.
He has not been announced as the cast, because all the announced cast, it's already on there. Are we going to get a William Atherton cameo?
Probably not.
But do we deserve one?
Yeah, the world does, yes.
Yes.
Yes. If this leads to another one, he needs to show up at some point. Even if just like he's a... Now he's like a fucking meter maid or something. You know,
just a washed-up piece of shit.
Right. Or he got sued by, you know, the Ghostbusters got sued. Well, Mr. Pecker got sued, too, because he said shut it down.
Yeah, I also feel like in today's political climate, you can't vilify the EPA. You know, you have to pull that off in the 80s. But right now, the EPA's a sensitive place to be.
We'll give him a different job now.
Yeah. In our current political climate.
He's been promoted or changed to something. He got a new gig. And then he fucks it all up again.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all I got today, dude.
Yeah, man.
You got anything else fun?
No, I think it's a good enough place to leave off. We've got next week we'll have Suicide Squad to rap about. Does Marvel's What If start this week also?
It's pretty soon. Yeah, week or this week or most.
Next week, maybe.
Yeah. I want to say it's this week, actually.
Have you watched The Bad Batch at all?
I haven't
finished. You.
I know.
There's two episodes left.
I know.
It's so good.
Someone else hit me up at the bar the other day asking if I had seen that too. So I got to get into
fucking
it.
Fucking tight.
Like I said, I got three episodes in, and it wasn't because I was bored. I just got distracted with other bullshit and just haven't come back to it yet.
Star Wars just continues to get better.
I know.
I feel like after the failure that was the sequel trilogy, which, I mean, love it or hate it, and I certainly like parts of it, but it just, overall, it was a failure in storytelling.
Sure.
The things that Disney has done on the small screen are so fucking good that they are. And it seems like I've been reading this shit about George Lucas's original treatment for the sequel trilogy. And it feels more and more like that's what they're building on Disney Plus.
Okay.
Like there's a lot from George Lucas's treatment that he thought Disney was going to follow for the sequel trilogy. That as you read into it, you're like, oh, that showed up in last season of Mandalorian. Oh, that's showing up in the bad. Yeah. Like, there's a lot there that, like, I went down a rabbit hole about George Lucas's treatment of the sequel trilogy this weekend. And his whole thing for the sequel trilogy was basically going to be like, so after they win, the whole sequel trilogy is about how they rebuild the Republic. And the bad guy of the sequel trilogy, the big bad of the sequel trilogy, is Darth Maul. You know, like, because it's all about how crime syndicates are trying to take over as the rebellion is trying to build a government. Because there is no centralized government. So, like, the rebellion's trying to build a centralized government, but it's a power grab. So Maul's the villain, and the Hutts are the villains. And, like, you're trying to see how the world is functioning. It's like, oh... A lot of this plays with what's going on in The Mandalorian, and a lot of this plays into Book of Boba Fett. Like, okay, there's shit going on here.
I gotta get back in this. Yep, I gotta get in it. I gotta get in it. I gotta start watching more.
But sadly, he said Lucas's whole plan was for it to end with, like, Luke creating the new Jedi Order and it, like, existing.
Right.
And Leia being the Supreme Chancellor of of the new government. It's like, we'll never get that.
No, no.
J.J. Abrams, you prick, you robbed me of it.
Man, that would have been something, wouldn't it?
But I also, in fairness, those actors were too old to play that timeline.
You couldn't do that. No,
you couldn't do that.
No.
Like,
no.
That sequel trilogy, you waited too long to start that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's on George.
Yeah.
But... That story sounds pretty fucking tight.
You can always do a what if.
Right. Well, so he said, it was a really compelling interview where he was like, the intention was always for the first trilogy to be about the father, the second trilogy to be about the son, and the third trilogy to be about the daughter.
Oh, okay.
Like he was like, the third trilogy, yes, Luke is building the Jedi Order, but the third trilogy, Leia is the hero of. Like... She is our central figure, and I'm like, I want to see that.
I will still fall on the sword. Biggest mistake Star Wars ever made was deciding, for whatever reason, they have to do movies in trilogies.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. Like,
well, more importantly, if you do that, you have to outline the whole trilogy.
Absolutely.
Like, Lucas's two trilogies work.
Right.
They are a first act, a second act, and a conclusion.
Right.
Like, it is a formula that works. It is not a formula that works if you don't fucking plan those acts out.
Exactly.
Like, that's your failure.
Yep.
If it was J.J. Abrams gets a trilogy, and again, I actually quite enjoy The Last Jedi. I will fall on that sword. That is, of the sequel trilogy, my favorite of the three. Fucking at me, bro. But it is a failure in storytelling that it's not a first act, second act conclusion.
Totally, sure.
And that's sure. The flaw.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. Right. I still love the idea, you know, do the Star Wars what if. What for if sure. Luke and Leia never found out they're related and fucked? What kind of mutant Jedi do you get out of that?
I want to see
the trailer park Jedi.
I want to see the heartbreaking what if that is Anakin doesn't turn to the dark side and they defeat Palpatine right there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I want to see that as a 30-minute animated episode of What If.
Sure. Yeah.
How does Anakin raise Luke and Leia?
Yeah. Like, I can see that. Yep.
I don't need a bunch of expensive movies about it.
Yep.
But I think that's a fun fucking couple of episodes of What If in cartoon form.
I mean, I would think, I mean, I don't, you know, if the What If Marvels does well, which I assume it probably will, how can Disney not just do that for all their shit?
Right.
I mean,
there's too much to play with.
Right.
To not have fun with it.
And it doesn't have to matter or make any sense.
It's just fun.
Right.
It is just like, yeah, man, let's entertain ourselves.
Right. I love the idea.
With these characters that we care about.
Totally. Like, you know, some of these stupid Funko Pops. I'm sorry, I should not have said that.
Easy.
Some of the Funko Pops I get, you know, they just do the Venomized.
Yeah.
Whoever. Cool.
Yeah.
Venomized Captain America.
That's fucking fun.
I'd watch 30 minutes of that shit.
Right.
It'd be fucking fun.
I wouldn't watch 6 seasons of it.
No way.
I wouldn't watch a fucking $250 million movie. I'd watch it, but I wouldn't love it.
Right.
But like a 30-minute animated?
Yes.
Or even like...
Yeah.
Especially, even if it's a 3-episode arc and it ends up being 65 minutes,
right.
That's fun.
That's right.
Speaking of animated shit, though, I did hear a rumor that got me very excited.
Ooh, I'm in for
the
rumors.
The only rumor that I've heard from Obi-Wan.
Yeah?
Because I've been thinking, like, ever since they announced the casting of Hayden Christensen, it's like, fucking why?
Sure.
Like, and I'm not, I like Hayden Christensen. I wish him no ill will, but like.
But at this point, he's Darth Vader in a mask.
And yeah. Right. It seems to. There is rumor that we are going to be seeing flashback sequences of the Clone Wars.
Okay.
So think Ewan McGregor, Hayden Christensen, and Rosario Dawson's Ahsoka.
I like it.
Giving a greatest hits from the fucking Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah.
In live action. How good the Clone Wars cartoon is.
Yep.
Give me some of those fucking moments with those actors.
Why wouldn't you?
Holy fuck, I want to see that so badly.
Yep, that'd be awesome.
Oh, that's going to be so... Like, if that's really what they're planning, which makes sense, I want that. I don't fucking care about the Obi-Wan series. I just want you to make 10 live-action episodes of Clone Wars now.
I'd be in for that. Yeah, totally.
Just let me see that.
I think
sounds fucking tight.
I mean, Clone Wars was obviously very popular and very well-received, but it's also not as mainstream as everything else, so I think... Just as Marvel pulls from comic books, you can pull from that and just do it. Do it again. Who gives a shit? People would love it.
I want to see it.
Right.
I say that as a big fan of the Clone Wars cartoon.
Right.
I still watch it with some frequency, but I want to see pieces of it in live action.
Absolutely.
Why the fuck wouldn't I?
Absolutely. Yep. I'm with you 100%. 100%. We wrap it up?
That'll do it.
All right, guys. Thanks.
See you.